Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January the 17th of 2026, Season 20, Episode 2. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody, and welcome to Saturday evening. At least here for us, Saturday evening. I don't know, some of you who listen in other countries, different, but... And for whenever you listen on watch it on the YouTubes and the iTunes. Trying to figure out what that stuff was anymore. I thought you were going to say
the internets.
We could go that way. I think it works better that way.
That'll cover everything.
It's blanket coverage, just gets everything out of the way. The internets. So yeah, what a wonderful invention that was. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is, well, actually, we'll keep the phones busy. You can go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. We are on Discord right now. You can join our Discord where you can join in the voice chat channel there and talk to us. You can actually do this on your phone, too, if you want. There is an app for that, as there is for everything in the world. You can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We're on Twitch right now, which is another way that you can interact with us. Go to twitch.tv. And type in game chat. You'll be able to find us. You can join us in the chat room and chat it up with everybody in there, hopefully with us too. I have to pay attention to the chat room. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go off on a little tangent of talking about stupid stuff, moving all over the place. So, yeah, sometimes that happens. And those are ways you can get in touch with us. And so we'd appreciate that if you want to reach out, interact. Love to hear from you. So let's get started here. RJ, how was your week? What have you been playing? What's been going on for you, sir?
Well, I didn't get to tell you about it when we came back from the break, but I did get that banana discount on the PS5 controller that you were telling us about from Wario 64.
Oh, you meant break as in like our Christmas break. Yeah. So there was a deal. And I sent it to you, and it involved, was it Walmart?
Yeah, it was involved Walmart. It was basically getting a DualShock 5 PS5 controller, because I'm always looking to get extra controllers for the consoles I have. So I was able to get one at a discount. So instead of the $75 to $80 range, I was able to get it for little under $50 with a discount with a code that you put in online. The thing was, though, you had to buy something else in order to get that code to activate. Now, jokingly, I thought Wario 64 said get a banana to go with it, and it'll activate the code. So I put the code in, and it didn't activate. It said you had to add $50 worth of merchandise to get the code to activate.
And I'm guessing the controller plus a single banana would put it over that limit?
Yeah. It said add $50 worth of merchandise. Mm-hmm. So I was adding different things. It was $150, and it wasn't activating, but I had like a one banana for some reason.
And it worked.
So I said, one banana is not going to do me any good, and it's going to look odd anyway, so I'll just get a bunch. So I got five, six of them. I can make a banana pudding or something and do something with that. But yeah, I got the bananas and the controller, and it activated the code. So I got five, six bananas and a DualShock 5 for a very good price.
I'm glad it worked, man.
I appreciate you sending the message.
Oh, dude, I mean, look, that's the reason I am a sucker for a deal.
Yeah.
As is the case. I mean, recently, my Sam's Club membership expired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's $50 a year.
Yeah, 65 in my case for Costco, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't do the Costco thing, but I did Sam's. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it renews, $50 a year. I just so happen, and the roulette wheel of chance, mm-hmm. you know, landed on the day before the renewal of me checking that, because I was going in there to buy some stuff. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, it's the 15th. Your membership renews on the 16th, automatically.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, good. I thought about it, and I was like, man, I haven't been to Sam's in like a month now. The entirety of December, I don't think I stepped foot in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, well, I don't necessarily know that I need to renew right now. It's $50. I don't necessarily need to do that at the moment. And so I didn't. And then later that night, I found a deal for a $20 membership to new members only. And, you know, I used a different email and everything else. I changed some things up, but it didn't matter because once you get it, you can go into your profile and just switch all that stuff back to the way you want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even if you're using, like I used a work phone number for here and, you know, a completely different email that I'd used before, but then I went back in and I switched all that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, be damned if I'm going to give Sam Walton my $30 for your $50 membership for whatever reason.
Yeah, it'll be spent back in the store anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
By the way, if you're looking for that deal for a $20 Sam's Club membership, you have to be a new member or, like I said, just use different credentials. And it's, I think, available through the 19th of this month, which is coming up on us here. So,
yeah, send me the info. I'll need to...
You want a $20 Sam's membership?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, because I'm... I would qualify as a new member, actually.
You absolutely would, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but getting away from that, playing-wise, it's been nothing but GTA Online this week. I'm trying to compensate for the fact that there's stuff on the current-gen consoles that I won't be able to use on the PS4, so I'm debating whether or not I want to, triple-dip, because I played it on PS3,
mm-hmm.
PS4. Now, do I want to go to PS5? And do the same thing.
I'm going to pay attention to you and what you're saying, but I'm going to get you that thing before I forget.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know about the cost, because the last time I checked, it was like $20 to get in. But usually most of the PS4 games that I have, there's like a free download of the PS5 version when you do it that way. So I'm wondering if there's a way to get around that, or just play the game itself, or just break down and do it on PC, whatever. But yeah, and I haven't got a chance to play those new... things I picked up from GameStop as well. It's just been GTA Online. So I never got around to playing Armored Core 6 or PGA 2K5 or what was it? What else did I pick up? Demon's Souls Remake for the PS5. I mean, I've got a lot of games to play, but now I got to concern myself with the space. Do I want to put it on the console itself or use that... that spare drive I got, that Seagate drive I got for about $200.
All right, I just sent you the link.
Thank you.
Just to make sure that I got it done.
Thank you, sir.
Because I did not want to, and I absolutely would have delayed or forgotten or something, would have come up, and I totally would have not been able to do that. Yeah. So there you go.
Appreciate it.
You know, I mean, listen, when we get to my segment of what have I played, mm-hmm. you're not going to hear anything different. You heard last week of all the different games that I bought. You're really not going to hear anything different from what I'm telling you I'm going to play.
What I bought instead of what I've actually played.
Exactly, exactly.
We can buy it, but we can't play it for some reason.
Yeah,
real life gets in the way sometimes, yeah, but...
I know, it's weird, right?
Or I get stuck on a title and want to see it through until I get what I want to do before I move on to the next game.
Well, that's legitimate, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a legitimate excuse. You're in the middle of something and you don't want to switch over. That's a perfectly acceptable excuse. Mine's just didn't play anything. Didn't just lazy. For mine, it's what I was saying. It's weird that at the time during the sales and stuff, it's like, ooh, that looks good. I'm going to pick up that. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy that, and I buy. Get great bundles, great deals, and I do these with deals. These are not like it's not a situation where I'm
Yeah, your bundles you talk about on Steam, you get like 6-7 games for like a really low price.
Something like that, yeah. Or you do the Humble Bundle stuff for charity and whatever, but like, it's not necessarily me going hog wild with it, it's just that I get a bunch of games for a cheap price. And yet, at the time I'm buying those, right? You're buying these games. I'm interested. I'm looking through it. I'm culling my cart. I'm looking like, hey, that's too much money to pay for all of those. Let's see what we can dump and what we can put back in. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it down to whatever's reasonable for me, and I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. I buy it, and then I don't touch the games. Part of me, see, like, I used to train myself to say, well, if you're not going to play these before the next sale comes around, there's no point in buying them right now. You know, now I need to train myself of a situation of like, are you going to play this once you buy it? Or better yet, buy one at a time instead of doing this whole, let me throw a bunch of games in my cart and buy them. Like, buy it one at a time, mm-hmm. You know, pick a day, buy the game, play the game. You bought it, you got time, play it. Put it in there, download it, you know, install it, play it. Mm-hmm. Put some time into it. Instead of like, oh, good, add it to the backlog of which I will never touch. You know, I will touch the backlog, trust, but
eventually.
You know, yeah. And then I get to the situation that I came to last year, which is like, did I buy this? Did I buy that? Where is that? Did I buy this? Let me scroll down. God, I've had this in my cart, or I've had this in my library for this long and I've never touched it.
And it's hard to do that when you buy it digitally as opposed to physically, like
very much so. Yeah. Because physically it's staring you in the face pretty much all the time, depending on where you put it, even though I could give you stories.
No, it's literally in front of my face. I got the cases on my bookshelf right in front of the so I can see it.
I buy physical, I come home, it's in a bag, right? Yeah. You go, you buy physical, you put that stuff in the bag, you come home, and I throw the bag on the couch thinking, all right, I'll come back and get to that. I need to go to the bathroom first, or I need to take my pills, or I need to do this or that or whatever. Let me get this stuff done first. And then it just sits there, and you think about it, and maybe you start watching something on TV, or you start playing another game. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, I'll get to those tomorrow. You know, tomorrow comes, and you don't get to them. It's just, it just sits there.
To the backlog you go.
Even in physical form, I am reluctant. So, yeah. But anyway, so nothing else for you? Nothing else you play?
Yeah, just GG Online and looking at stuff from the backlog and figuring out how to utilize data space efficiently. Yeah.
I will say I've been playing. So, for me, it's been Marvel Snap on the phone, of course. What else? I think I played some Spider-Man. Some more Spider-Man, I believe. And what was the other stuff I played? Proverbs, which I've talked about. Mm-hmm. Played some more of that. You will hear me every week be like, yeah, put some more time into Proverbs, right? Because it's a massive, massive game. And I mean massive in the sense that what you have to do is you're just solving a puzzle of a giant mural. Mm. I say a mural, but it's a big painting. And you're filling that painting in with solving the little Minesweeper-esque gameplay type thing. That's it. That's all you're doing. That is it. So luckily they break them up into sections, and you can go in and like, I'm going to work on this section now, or I'm going to try this section, or I'm going to go through and look for all the places where I can easily like fill in or do whatever I need to do. And that's great. I am 5% complete on this thing. And I feel like I've been doing it for a while, but it's going to take that kind of, you know, it's that rock rolling up the hill type thing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a while for me to get there. But I will tell you every single weekend, I will be like, I played some time in Proverbs, right? Mm. No problem. The other one that I played was Strange. I think it's Strange Jigsaws, which I talked about last week, and I said that I really loved it because of what it did, and I put some more time into it to get further into it. And that game has really, it's really opened up some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really sort of opened up an idea of puzzle solving that I really never experienced before. Very chaotic at times in the ways that you solve puzzles. Very, some excruciatingly difficult. Some seemingly to be excruciatingly difficult, but then a solution is discovered or found. There's those aspects as well, and there's just some really, really cool things that they did with the puzzles. So, I've been enjoying that, and I really haven't played much else. There's a couple of others that I would like to get into. There's a couple I picked up. Well, I didn't pick them up. They were either free or I got a code for them to download and play. A lot of those to do with like murder mystery type stuff. Which is, I think, a theme week that's going on Steam. They've got a lot of games that are for sale that or have a special discount because they're, you know, mystery solving type games where you've got to figure out what happened type of stuff, which is fine. I enjoy those. I do like them very much, but I just haven't popped any of them open. You know, haven't looked at any of them. Haven't decided that I'll do any of those. So, anyway, there they sit upon the backlog. Waiting for me to give them some attention. Nothing much else for me in that regard. I did. I downloaded Star Wars Outlaws, thinking that I would get into that, and of course, I haven't. But that's on Game Pass. That was just recently added to Game Pass, so might take a look into that. I know it's an open world Star Wars game. I don't know that I'm ready for an open world game. Type of thing that's going to, you know, sink some time. And I don't know what kind of time that's going to sink. I heard really bad things about it at the beginning. I heard it got improved and that it was better.
Yeah, I was about to ask because all I've heard about Star Wars Outlaws was a rush job, bad implementation of assets. And fixed it. They said they fixed it, but to what degree?
I don't know. I heard a lot of people mention that it has come around. It has the updates fixed it type of thing.
Especially with the enemy AI was really, really bad the first run through.
Yeah. Possibly. Ubisoft has a history of, and it's an odd history for a game company to kind of be able to shake this off. Because if you ship a game that is consistently bad, or you consistently ship games that are bad at the outset, you know, you lose a little good faith from your consumers. But they consistently update their games in a positive improvement.
I was about to say bad or buggy, because Bethesda's been getting away with shipping out buggy games at the launch for a while.
And they get around to fixing them eventually at some point. And Ubisoft's been doing the same, where it's like this is either buggy or broken or whatever the case may be, and they've gone in and they fixed it with updates. Unfortunately, you miss the original deluge of reviews that are, you know, it's like newspapers. They'll print something, and if it's wrong, the correction will show up.
The retraction, yeah.
Yeah, the correction, retraction, whatever shows up on like.
But you don't see.
Page 7 in a little box at the bottom or somewhere else.
Yeah, they were loud with that mistake, but they were real quiet with the correction.
But forever, there's the front page story that is wrong, or there's whatever the case may be. And so it works a little bit like that. You ship a game out, it gets these initial reviews, it sticks into people's heads that it was bad. You may update it and get it fixed, but unless people come across that, the reviewers don't go back and say, hey, they updated it and fixed it, we're going to update our score. It doesn't matter. Even if they did do that, the top of mind for when they originally released their review or originally released the game and got the word of mouth out that things are broken really takes a long time to change. So while you can be a great game company that fixes your problems after it's released, that's not helping anything because you're not bringing more people to the table. They're not hearing that you've either fixed it. They're not reading that you fixed it. They may read that you fixed it, but at that point, their interest has waned and they've moved on to something else, possibly. Or they'll put it back in their mind of, I'll pick it up on a sale.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get it somewhere else down the line. And which is essentially what I did. I originally picked up Star Wars Outlaws on a sale on Ubisoft Connect, their little storefront that they have. And then I heard it was going to be on Game Pass, and I immediately refunded it.
Yeah.
Got the money back and downloaded it on Game Pass. So, you know, hands are clean of spending money on your possibly broken game.
Your potluck probably has been.
Yeah. On a game, and it was $11, and I don't necessarily want to say that $11 is nothing. $11 to some people is quite a big deal.
$11 is better than $60.
I mean, it absolutely is. Sorry. But $11 on a bad game is $11 wasted. Mm-hmm. You know. So, anyway, Thar is asking about Proverbs, dude. Thar, it's a cheap game on Steam, and all it is just Minesweeper without the bombs. You have to, you get a, it's a massive painting that has numbers all in them, and the numbers represent how many of the squares within a, within that, I'm not sure what you, I'm not sure, there's a term for it, but without, within that grid, how many of those squares are activated, and how many of those squares are deactivated. Well, activated, and then the rest are deactivated. Yeah. And that gets you to the next group, new next group, and you just fill that in, and it's massive. It's huge. It's gigantic. Yeah. It's based on a painting that we've talked about.
$9 right now.
Oh, was it $9 for Proverbs? Yeah. Man, yeah. That was like $2.50 when I bought it during the Steam sale.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. The Netherlandish Proverbs.
That's what it is. Netherlandish on, yeah. Proverbs painting is what that is based on. So, which is whatever. You can go look at that painting all you want. It's not going to help you with the actual game itself. It'll reveal what it looks like beforehand, but that doesn't necessarily matter. So yeah, it's interesting, and I've enjoyed it. Nice little kickback, relaxed type game, very zen-like to just sit there and look at the numbers and figure out what goes where and that sort of thing. It's really, it's nice. So.
That's why we heard a term we've used before, just turn your brain off and play.
I mean, your brain does need to work for this.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, because when I start playing, I'll be on a pretty good run of like, all right, that's that. The more I sit there and play a certain section, depending on how big it is, if it gives me that kind of time where I'm putting in that kind of time playing it, the more I'll run into like these really hard roadblocks of like, I can't figure out what I'm, you know, it feels like I've got to make a guess as to what may be a colored square or a decolored square, right? I get to that point where I feel like there's supposed to be three here, but I've only got the two, and I've got like four more squares that I could pick to be the third one that needs to be colored in. Which one is it? And I just look it over and I can't figure it out. So there's a hint button, and there's no penalty for using hints, but there's a hint button, and it'll always zoom in on something that seems pretty obvious, and I'll see it, and it's like, oh, God, how did I miss that, you know? And I guess it's because I've been looking at it for too long, and my brain starts just mushing them all together, and I'm not paying attention to what I'm supposed to, the grid work that I'm supposed to be paying attention to. So, yeah, like I said, it's a really, I don't want to say relaxing, but a very lax game. It does not penalize you. It will tell you when you're wrong. Not when you make a mistake, though. In other words, you can make a mistake and keep playing a little bit, and eventually it's going to pop up and say, you got some errors. You want to clear those? And when you hit clear, it undoes anything that's wrong, and even stuff that may be right within the past ever how long you made that mistake.
Sounds like coding.
Yeah. Well, because the chances are...
I'll let you write all this program, but when you try to run it, then I'll let you know what's wrong.
The chances are is that if you make a mistake and you keep going like that, you're likely making more, because that one square is helping you to decide what the next grouping is going to be done, and then from there on. And so you've probably screwed up somewhere, and that's why it erases as much as it does whenever you need to do it. But it's not, like I said, it's not penalizing. It's just a really chill type of thing. To enjoy and play. So, anyway, speaking of enjoying and playing, we are here at the bottom of the hour here for our break. So when we come back, we'll jump into the news that we've got for you. It's New Music Week. We are in April, well, late May, early April of 2025, going through this. Now, obviously, at some point, I'm going to have to speed this thing up, because... We'll be in 2025. We'll be in December of 2025 by the time we're in December of 2026, given the way this is going. So I might speed some of this up and really get more of the top-tier type games that are getting released. But I just hate the fact that we can miss some really good stuff from music. In fact, today has some good examples, and when I get to them, I'll tell you. This game that's coming up is a game called Steel Seed. I don't remember. There's somebody like going really fast or something on the road out there. I do not know what Steel Seed is about. Sounds mech-ish, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, or
some cyberpunkish.
Yeah, some kind of sword combat. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Steel Seed. Are you looking this up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
I figured you were.
Let's see. Steel Seed is a stealth action adventure set in a dark sci-fi world on the brink of extinction. So, yeah.
That pretty much sums it up. Mm-hmm. Good. Anyway, this is the theme for Steel Seed, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Fatal Fury. Call of the Wolf? Is that what it's called? The new one?
City of the Wolves.
City of Wolves?
Yeah.
City of the Wolves?
Mm-hmm.
I just see COTW, Call of the Wild, Call of the Wolves, City of the Wolves, whatever it is. This track is called Thunder Waves. Anyway, welcome back into the show. As we go. Hey, Awesome Games Done Quick. 2026 was happening last week while we were doing the show. And they raised over $2.4 million for cancer research. I don't know where that sits in their history. But the whole Games Done Quick thing over the years has now donated over $28 million to the foundation of the $59 million in total the streams have raised for charity. So, really, really good. It was good to see. They always raise a bunch of money for it anyway as they go through this, and it's always good that they do it. And I'm happy for them. It's fun to watch. There's a lot of, like, exploits when they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
To try and go from the beginning to the end in the fastest amount of time. And even the games that don't have exploits, you have people who are just really, really good at some of these games.
Mm-hmm.
Because they play them over and over and over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
trying to get the best times. I remember I was doing some work from home. Which I normally do for stuff here. And I just wanted something going on in the background while I was whatever. And so on the other screen, I went to YouTube and I was looking for something that was long. I needed it to be a very long video,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I could just put on and let it go. And not one of these like the lo-fi things or anything like that. I didn't want anything like that. I just wanted something else playing, whatever. And I found, I'll call it a speed run.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it is. It is an actual speed run, but it was for the Arkham series. Like, all four of the Arkham games, Origins, Asylum, City, and Knight. All of them. And so I said, that's good. I'll start from the beginning on that one. Mm. And, I mean, it's a speed run, but it's like a 19-some-odd-hour speed run.
Because that's all four games back-to-back.
Because it's all four games back-to-back-to-back, yeah. And so I just keep it on there and would watch it. I mean, it's not fast. I mean, obviously it would be. It is compared to just, you know, you or I playing the game or mm-hmm. anybody like that. But it's still like it's not a, you know, 10-minute run type of thing. You know what I mean?
No,
it's
I mean,
a few hours.
Just try to get from beginning to end of the quickest way possible. So that mm-hmm. So what would you have to skip through that? You would skip gadgets and upgrading things.
Well, no, there were what's it called? My brain is not braining. There's stipulations. There's
okay.
things that have to be on where it's like, oh no, it's 100% run. You know,
mm-hmm.
in other words, they do 100% run all achievements type stuff. So they do have to get all the upgrades.
Oh, okay.
They do have to perform. They have to get all the Joker trophies. They have to get all the Riddler trophies. They have to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. There's some of it that isn't required, like DLC. They'll skip that sort of thing.
Hmm.
The challenge rooms, they don't do any of that.
Hmm.
But story mode, 100% full achievement type stuff or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they put a lot of time into it.
I'll feel for the Riddler trophies because I always skip those.
I mean,
it got to a point where that got real tedious and I want to move on and get to, with the story.
I still don't. I 100%ed all of them when mm-hmm. I was doing them. And some of the Riddler trophies were my favorite part of it. Some of them were not.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I can't stand. If I ever go back through Arkham Knight, I don't ever want to touch those racing, Batmobile racing challenges ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't want to do them. Even though I think they had some help from Criterion. I'm going to start saying this about every single racing section that's in a game. Like, didn't they have Criterion? But watching it back, because it'd been a while,
mm-hmm.
watching it back, the driving sequences, both with Riddler and just the driving sequences that you did in the game itself, there were points of it, because there's a challenge where you have to chase down some of the APCs that are, and you'll get other enemy vehicles that will try to stop you while you're chasing the one APC or whatever it's called. Anyway, you've got your missiles that you can, you know, and you can ram into it and stuff like that. You're trying to damage it to get it off the road. But if you mm-hmm. do other cars, if you do other enemy vehicles, the speed of the game slows down to show that wreck and everything else that happens. And as I was watching this, because I played the game, I remember it. But as I was watching, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what the combat driving looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it, and I was like, I think Criterion had a hand in this. I think I remember reading that somebody from Criterion, it's not EA, you know, it was Warner Brothers, but somebody from Criterion had a hand in working on this. And you look at it, and like the DNA of it is right there.
Yeah.
The way the game slows down to show you the carnage of what you'd just done and all this really is... It's there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was another game that had Criterion's help with some of the racing segments, and I'm drawing a blank on which one it was, which is like the story of my life now. I was trying to remember something and saying, yeah, that happened, but I don't remember. But Criterion had a hand in the driving sequences for whatever that was as well, some other game. And you go back and you look at it, and it's like, yeah, it's there. You know, the DNA of what Criterion did with their Burnout series is right there. And the problem that I, or not the problem, but the thing that I have against that is the fact that you did that, right? It's real fun and it's good. You did it there in Batman. You did it here in this other game. You're doing it again for this other thing. Why can't you build a game around that? Like, why? Why does it have to be these little sections in other people's games that give us such a sliver of a taste of mm-hmm. what you guys were able to do, but you can't do it in a full game.
Mm.
You know? Why? I want to bang my fist down on the board, but I'm not going to do that because this thing will break. But, yeah, just one of those things. Mm. It's like, so, anyway. What else we have in news? Heroes Ago. Anthem is dead. Even though people are trying to kind of revive it with their own personal servers and stuff like that, it is absolutely dead. I remember trying to play this game. Me and one of my guys from my Destiny group, we said, hey, let's go try Anthem. You know, it was free to try it out. We had betas. We had invites. We had that sort of thing. We did not pre-order the game. God, no, we were not going to put money towards this thing. We tried it out, and we hated it, but we kept playing it just because we're like, it was story-based. You were working as a team, and we were going through it. So we're like, let's just finish this and get to the – you'd get back to the hub, and you'd upgrade your suit or whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember too much about it, but I never sat there playing it thinking, oh, there's promise here. Or there's hope, you know? Mm-hmm. There were a couple of things, and I can't remember what they are going back this far. This would have been – when did Anthem come out? This would have been pre-Heart Attack. This would have been pre-Heart Attack. Yeah, February of 2019. So this, I think I would have been playing it around January of that year. Mm-hmm. With my buddies from the Destiny group. And never, like I said, never paid for it, never bought it.
Yeah.
Never had interest in it.
I mean, it goes to show you that even though it was a bad game, the fact that you were playing with others helped it. Helped you tolerate it a little bit longer.
Yeah, well, that's going to go with any kind of game like that. If I can play with my friends through it in that regard, then I'm going to have... There's at least going to be a sliver of fun to be had in that regard. Because if it sucks, then we're going to have fun with how bad it sucks. If it's great, then we're going to have fun with how great it is. Mm-hmm. Right? If it's mediocre, then it's just mediocre. We play it, we don't even think about it, and we don't come back to it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Anthem was bad. And... I'm surprised that it took February of 2019 all the way to 2026. I say it's a long run for a pretty bad game, but I don't think it was doing much. I don't think it was, obviously it wasn't making much money, but yeah, it was bad. They tried something and it didn't work. And they were trying a Destiny route, you know, let's get it multiplayer, kind of PvE, also PvP maybe, if it's, you know, if you want to do that or whatever. It never happened.
Yeah, someone's going to get a hold of it and mod some stuff and try something with it. Yeah. I remember something like that happening with a Phantasy Star Online back in the Dreamcast days. There was a version called Blue Burst that someone made. It was like a private server because support from Sega went away. So someone and started replaying it that way. And it got a lot of players on there. The last time I checked,
yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
When you say dead, not really. If someone can get hold of it and get their own servers, like you said, with that, it can still live on.
I mean, City of Heroes did it.
Yeah.
There was some other thing I think that was trying to do it. I think Halo. They were trying to do something with Halo, mm-hmm. 2 maybe or something. They were trying to do some public service, but they couldn't. And there's just a couple of other games where fans have built servers to keep it going.
Yeah, the desire to play is still there. And some folks can get together and make something happen to make it viable again.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Batman, we had some interesting footage released this past week. It was from Monolith, who is now closed, you know, as a studio that does not exist anymore. But Monolith was working on a Batman game that... It was pre-Arkham Asylum.
Okay.
It was going to focus on the film series, the Christopher Nolan film series. Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises. I don't necessarily know if it was going through all three of them, but the footage that we do have shows a color scheme of Batman Begins type of thing. Very... sepia orange type of a color palette for it. This comes from an article in GameSpot. It says, it's no secret that a video game based on 2008's The Dark Knight was in development at one point before the plug was ultimately pulled. Footage of the game, which was being developed by the now-shuttered Monolith Productions, has surfaced online over the years, and this week a new video showed how this Batman adventure would have taken a cue from the live-action films with its dynamic soundtrack. As part of a treasure trove of materials uncovered by retro game enthusiast and archivist, the footage showcases early cinematic footage, game design documents, concept art, and a whole lot more. If you have an ear for video game soundtracks, there's even video of the game's dynamic audio system and how it would change depending on the situation that players found themselves in. Batman live-action films have had iconic soundtracks, and Monolith's game used some of Hans Zimmer's Dark Knight soundtrack to demonstrate this feature. It's worth noting that all of this content came from very early in the pre-production stage of a Batman game codenamed Project Apollo, as the assets were dated to around 2009-2010, and they look a lot rougher than the 2024 leak that we had there. But, yeah, there is footage of it out there. The project was eventually scrapped. Elements of it were used to develop Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor and its signature Nemesis system. Batman fans weren't left out in the cold thanks to Rocksteady's popular Arkham series of games. Since then, things have changed drastically at Warner Brothers Games, as we know. And fortunately, we get a new Batman game later this year, Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. I say a new one. This looks like Lego Arkham Asylum or Lego Batman Arkham, right? The mixtures of all the Arkham games that they've got there thrown in, but Legoized, if that's a term, which is fine. I'll take it, right? I will take it because we have gone 2016, 2015 was Arkham Knight.
Let's see.
For PC, I think. It might have been a year earlier for, because I think it got released on consoles in October or December.
June of 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2015 was our last Arkham-style Batman game that we got. Now, obviously, we did get that god-awful Suicide Squad game.
Yeah.
That,
my goodness, talk about a discount on that one.
A dollar. You could get the Ultimate Edition for like $1.99, you know? Maybe $1.50, I think. It was it was absolutely cheap. Within the same year that it released.
Yeah, I mean, the game does bad enough. I mean, that can happen. But you mentioned Monolith, and I was thinking about they were doing the Wonder Woman game.
They were
canceled,
yeah.
Right? They got they canceled were. And then with the Shadow of Mordor, and that Nemesis system was just...
Nemesis system is wonderful, and the, you know...
But then they just won't use it for anything else.
They're not. I don't know why. I do not know why they don't do something. They could. I feel like if they license that tech out, that they could do something with it. I think that is something that likely a lot of developers and companies would be like, yeah, sure, we'll buy the license to that.
So Warner Brothers has it right now, right? Right.
Warner Brothers has it, except I think Netflix is buying Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah. The thing is, what are they going to do with it?
Right. So Netflix is about to end up owning these games and these game systems. When I say game systems, I mean their game engines, how they run. Mm-hmm. That's all proprietary to a company for the most part.
Yeah.
And the Nemesis system absolutely was a proprietary tech that Warner Brothers owned.
Mm-hmm.
And now Netflix is going to own it. I don't know what they're going to do with it. You know, license it out. Let other people use it. Flesh that thing through. Because I think it's fantastic. I loved it in that, not Shadow of War, but the first one, Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of Mordor, yeah.
I mean, I liked it in Shadow of War. It was doing the same thing that it was then, more of it. But I liked it there too. But I just feel like there are absolutely tons of ways to implement that system into other games. Top of mind is Assassin's Creed.
Mm.
You're already kind of doing it. It's just not implemented in the way it is. I remember playing Mirage. You would open up a section of the map because you wouldn't, but you would have objectives. Like, here's your main objective is to find out who this person is that needs taken out. And we don't necessarily know who he is or where he is, but we do know he has these associates with him. So we know where some of them are. So the more we learn from them as we take them out, we will find more information about this person that we're trying to overall take out.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be your little section. Like, you would do that, and when you did that, you'd move on to the next one. Or if you were playing the game just not on a path that you wanted to, you probably had a bunch of these guys that were unlocked, but you needed to go and take out their, you know, their lieutenants and their whatever to figure out who they are and where they're at.
Yeah.
Nimbus's system works exactly like that, but I think a lot better. And so I would love, I really, really, really wish the Nimbus system would come back and not just sit on the shelf like it looks like it's going to do, and not come back at all. What else? I don't, you know, I got 6 minutes here, so maybe I can talk about Hytale. There's not much to tell you about Hytale. It kind of has exploded in either, I don't know if it's exploded in popularity or curiosity. It's not a game that's on Steam. It's not on EGS. It is a game that you need to buy directly from the developer, which will then install a client on your PC. You open it up, you play it.
Yeah.
It's Minecraft. I would love to say that it's a Minecraft-like. It's Minecraft. I mean, it's seriously Minecraft. I looked into this because I go to that game deals page and, like, it lists the top 10 or 15, you know, games that are, like, being looked at and being bought and that sort of thing. And Hytale was coming in, like, 3 or 4 on the main page.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what is Hytale? I looked that up and it's like, oh, it's just Minecraft. It's developed by some Riot Studio guys who quit and they went off to develop this, but you look at it, man, it is absolutely Minecraft. It's like Minecraft, but it's got a lot of quality and life improvements, maybe, that people want from Minecraft or that people didn't even know they wanted from Minecraft. It's been in development for 10 years. If you're looking for the game on Steam, you won't find it there because developer Hypixel launched the game exclusively through its own app. The executive producer of the game said in an FAQ that Hypixel opted to release Hytale through its own launcher at first to allow the team to communicate more closely with its own fans and community. They said that bringing the game to Steam at launch might have brought a flood of cold first impressions that could overcorrect the game's direction. That's a little sketch. That's a little sus, you know? Like, we're not going to go on Steam because, you know, early word might hurt sales. So here you can buy it from us, and that way we don't have a system where you can look at what other people have said about the game, or if we do, it's been heavily filtered. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know. It's Minecraft.
Yeah. I mean, the way you're describing it, I start thinking about the Pal World Pokemon type mess going on with them.
Microsoft owns Minecraft now, you know? So the whole Pal World thing never panned out with a lawsuit. I mean, it did, but it wasn't as big a stink as I was expecting from a company like Nintendo.
But it drew eyeballs because of what was going on there. So, like, the same game, just very small differences between the two.
This article goes on to say this isn't to say that Hypixel wants to bury its head in the sand and avoid criticism, however. Studio said it does not shy away from honest negative criticism, going on to say that the developer itself has been very critical of the game that it's making. Releasing on their own launcher was a purposeful decision the studio made to help ensure the first steps of our journey to be influenced by informed players rather than large-scale first impressions from those unfamiliar with the game's development background. It very well could come to Steam later. He just says, we don't see the need for it, as we want to keep our launch closer to our community. The developer added that Steam does not currently support all of Hytale's modding features, adding that the developer aims to discuss this with Valve to see what's possible. It's also not available on console, but in that case, Hypixel confirmed it will bring the game to console at some point in the future, whenever they can be sure that it's safe from a lawsuit, I'm sure, from Microsoft for the Minecraftiness of it.
Minecraft Plus or something, because that's what it looks like. So they're just Minecraft with the better quality of life choices, huh?
Minecraft, the game that inspired Hytale, is also not available on Steam. So that's something else to think about, I suppose. I don't know why, but yes. There it is. It's been doing great, but you watch any kind of a gameplay, and you will see that it is Minecraft. It is straight up legit Minecraft. Absolutely. So yeah, when we come back, we have more news, obviously, to go over. A lot of little bitty hits here and there that we'll talk about. There's nothing really that dominated the news cycle as far as video games were concerned that I remember. Sometimes that's a good thing. Not necessarily good for us to talk about, but sometimes it's a good thing that just doesn't get the news like it does. We're going to go back to music here from a game called Drop Duchy. This is a very cool game that I have not played, so I can't necessarily tell you that it's a real cool game. I want to say I played the demo and I was like, ooh, never really got into it. But it is a city builder, which is in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. But it is played, the gameplay mechanic of building the city is done in a style of Tetris. Parts of the city start coming down, you know, the lane there, and you have to rotate them however you want to fit in the field. And yeah, that's about all I can tell you, because I haven't played much of it. That's just what I know as being the bare bones description of how this game is played. But I love my city builders and I love my Tetrises, and so this seems like a good fit. I haven't bought it yet, because even at sale, I was like, price is a little too much. Anyway, this is a track called Keep It Under Control. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This energy drink is the worst thing I've tasted. I decided to get the blue version. Literally, it says blue on the can. And it is disgusting. Yeah. I don't know if it's worse than the red version, but every time I taste it, it's just, oh, God, it's bad. I need to just stick with what you know, right?
Yeah.
Stick with what you know. Dear God. Okay. Sorry. I let this play just because it's a beautiful piece of music. This is something that I need to look and see if I can find a vinyl of. And God knows how big it would be, because when I go and look up the original soundtrack to the game, the amount of tracks that I come across in their playlist is massive. So I have no idea.
Look, getting any when you get a soundtrack from a Japanese import game, you're going to get a ridiculously long discography on that one, man.
Well, this
80 to 100 tracks.
It's unreal. I mean, if there's a vinyl that exists, it's got to be a double album type thing, but maybe more.
I think Dark Souls was a double album size vinyl. I picked that up.
This is Expedition 33, Clair Obscur Expedition 33. Came out in April of last year, which is the month that we're current late April, March, April that we're currently into with getting our music from.
Oh.
What?
I was looking it up.
Like what, track listings or vinyl?
Vinyls for Clair Obscur.
How many?
10? 6 LP box set.
Wow.
And most of them are all sold out. You got CD box sets, and then you have the a deluxe double vinyl. Then you got the exclusive double vinyl. But then you have the deluxe 6 LP box set, and those were sold out. Those were $145 a pop.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's that was the track was called Gustav, which I guess is Gustav's theme from the game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
What?
This was a pre-order and it was already sold out.
Oh, yeah.
It's not coming out till next month, and the pre-orders were sold out for it. So, goodness, man.
Yeah, you can imagine how much they'll go for secondhand. Mm. Or for, resale.
Yeah, and I got the whole list of tracks on here, so yeah. Goodness.
It's a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's good about.
Yeah.
For six LPs, yeah.
So... anyway, that game's music is there's plenty of it. Obviously, we've just talked about. I don't normally do more than one track from a game, but for this weekend, I actually did do more than one track for this game, just because it's beautiful. We'll have another one coming up later. I decided to not make sure that they didn't run back to back. But yeah, great game with some fantastic music. The music is absolutely beautiful for that game. Clair Obscur is what we're talking about. Okay, back to our news of the week here. GameStop has reportedly shut hundreds of stores. Now, the CEO, Ryan Cohen of GameStop, he is set to get a $35 billion pay package if he successfully gets GameStop's market cap to $100 billion, which is 10 times its current value. Doing so, hundreds of workers have been let go in a series of abrupt store closures. That's one way to get it up there, right? Stop paying off on these stores and stop paying off on the employees in there and everything else. Just limit it, and then that, we have this much money.
As if by magic.
Some employees are claiming that the closures came as a shock and with very little notice, affecting even well-performing staff and stores. According to the GameStop closing list, more than 400 stores have confirmed that they have closed or plan to close this month. It's the highest for any month on record and equals to 20 to 25% of all GameStop stores across the United States. I had heard that my local GameStop was closing and wanted to stop by for the last time because that store was my childhood. Once I arrived, it had already been closed, wrote one unhappy customer. I wanted to say thank you to the one manager there. He had been there since I was a kid, and I always recognized him when I went to the store. Thank you for the memories. It may have just been your job, but that store gave me some good memories. Only one store left within about an hour of me, and I'm sure that's going to be next, added another comment. Really sucks because I enjoy walking in and buying physical on launch day or poking through the used shelves. Furthermore, reports are that the company is also eyeing up closures to its EB Games subsidiary in New Zealand as well. Staff has reportedly received emails notifying them that they are in scope of redundancy, although no final decisions have been made until we have completed a full consultation process in good faith with affected team members, is what that goes on to say. If true, New Zealand will join Ireland, Germany, and Austria as countries where GameStop has recently closed its local operations. So I'm not sure if I mean, I haven't been into a GameStop in a long time. You know? Mm-hmm. Even when I buy physical, I'm picking it up at either a Best Buy or I've just ordered it online to get it shipped. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But it's rare that I do that even. You know? Because I just rarely buy physical. Plus, I buy PC and they just don't sell physical PC games.
Right.
I mean, they do, but they're on console. And when they put them on PC, they're digital.
Yeah. Yeah, in my case, like I said recently, the buy two, get one free mm-hmm. thing. And I think I saw an email here that says the buy two, get two free for on clearance items. So yeah. They offer specials all the time in store. But yeah, for the most part, when it goes physical, I'm either buying, I can walk into a GameStop or just get something shipped online.
For the holidays, when, you know, games were going on sale and stuff, physical mm-hmm. copies of games going on sale.
Yeah.
Woot was a place that had it. Walmart had it.
Walmart, Target, the occasional sudden price drop out of nowhere.
Just to be completely clear, none of the deals were, GameStop was not beating any of the other store deals.
Hmm.
I don't remember anything that GameStop was offering this Black Friday or this Christmas holiday that, unless it was exclusive to GameStop, that was beating one of your bigger boxes or your online retailers.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't working.
Now that you mentioned it, I can't think of a good GameStop exclusive I've seen in a minute. Like I said, I've just seen the sale, the mm-hmm. buy one, get one free thing.
GameStop exclusive, and I don't know because I haven't been in the store forever, but mm-hmm. GameStop exclusives used to be, you remember, there used to be a period in time, it seems to be a small period in time, although it felt like a lot longer than that, but there mm-hmm. used to be a period in time where you bought your game from determined the bonus thing you would get from game, right?
Soul Calibur 2.
Yep, Soul Calibur 2 is one of them. Burnout was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Burnout Revenge, actually. Burnout Revenge, if you bought it at Target, there was a specific Target car that you got.
Yeah.
If you bought it at Best Buy, if you bought it from GameStop, there was a specific car that came with it. There used to be spreadsheets. There used to be articles on gaming websites that would tell you, here's all the different things you get depending on where you buy the game from.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God those days seem to be over.
Yeah.
I don't know. They still could exist. Maybe either I'm not paying attention or I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just going to buy wherever the price is cheapest. I don't care what comes on offer. It just needs to be cheap. And if it is, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm not playing your little game of buy it from here and get this, buy it from here and get this, drink this nasty stuff here and get a code for a skin in the game. And it's like, no.
What was it, Mountain Dew for Call of Duty?
I had to throw that stuff away. I actually had a case of, it was some kind of orange flavored Mountain Dew.
It wasn't LiveWire, was it?
Yes, I think it was.
Because red is code red. Yeah, LiveWire is orange, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It had a Halo tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a case of it. And I don't know where I got the case from. I think it got shipped here. I don't know. I didn't buy it.
Okay.
But we had a case of it or some. I don't remember what it was. It's like, oh, it's the Halo flavored drink. It's a Halo flavored Mountain Dew, right?
Yeah.
And so I took that case home, and it sat on the bottom of the bookshelf, and it was just like, it's the Halo flavor, and I'm going to keep it there and whatever. Not that I think I'm going to sell it,
mm-hmm.
but it just stayed there. And then, over time, I started seeing some orange nastiness coming out of one of them cans, like on the thing. I was like, it's time to go, and I threw them all away,
mm-hmm.
you know, and cleaned up what was there. But it was ridiculous. It was stupid. I don't know why I did that, but I did that. Stupid. But yeah, it was, God, I remember that. They're still doing the drink stuff. I mean, I'll still be in a store and I'll still
see codes and things attached to games and things like that, yeah.
For games I don't play.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's like for Call of Duty or something else like that. I think there was I think something was involved with Anthem too, speaking of. I think mm-hmm. Anthem got some merchandise tie-in type stuff. But oh God, I hated that year. Hated that time.
Yeah, it was always but Doritos and Mountain Dew. It's always them. I can't think of any other snack or drink company that was associated with gaming. I can't. At least I can't think of any right now. Mm-hmm. But I always remember Doritos and Mountain Dew was always associated with gaming
and would have like tie-ins for the stuff. Yeah. Lethal Migraine says, Halo flavor is what? Sadness and depression and desperation? I don't know, because I never tried the live. I never tried it. I never opened it up.
Yeah, you stuffed it. Yeah, it escaped.
It did. Yeah. And I can't even remember for what Halo game this was for.
Let's see.
I know, right? This is what we're doing now.
We got the internet for a reason, right?
Halo themed. Come on. Mountain Dew. What? There it is. Mountain Dew. Halo themed Mountain Dew.
Goodness.
Oh, it was Game Fuel Mountain Dew.
Game Fuel, okay.
Yeah, it's called Game Fuel.
Wait, is that orange or what? Oh, limited. Well, wait a minute.
Wow, there's a can. There's an unopened can on eBay of this stuff for $70.
No, I was looking at this one. Mountain Dew Halo 3 Game Fuel Limited Edition 2007 2-liter bottle full unopened. They want $400 for this thing.
I see that one. Man, I should have kept them cans.
You couldn't. They seeped through.
I know they did. Well, that guy's selling an empty one for $70.
Yeah, how'd it get empty? Did it seep out or did he?
Well, I don't know. It looks still sealed. God, why is it sometimes so hard to say words together? Oh, God, it looks nasty, though. The side of the can looks horrible.
Oh, yeah, it was 2007.
Yeah, I know. It just evaporated, more than likely.
Mm.
Yep.
Wow. There's a reason why it's not orange. Okay, it's from 2007. That's why. It's discolored. Okay. Jeez.
So what game would that have been?
I think Halo 3, because I see a 3 in a circle.
Well, then that would have been it, yeah. That would have been it. Man.
How did this get to eBay? Is anyone bidding on it?
Oh, I don't know. This was just the examples that Google gave me when I put that in the search. I was not up for clicking through, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to continue to go through that and get any more information. That was enough, because it's like, I don't want to buy it. It's already, you know, making me mad that I had something that probably could have been sold. Who knows if people are actually buying it? Why would you buy? I don't know, man. You got to be some kind of fool in his money, right?
Yep. Especially this one.
Yeah, $400 for a full 2-liter, been opened?
No, I'm talking about $3,500.
Oh, my God. Is it for a drink?
A 2-liter bottle.
Of the Mountain Dew stuff we were talking about?
Yeah, Mountain Dew Game Fuel unopened 2-liter bottle.
Wow. $3,400.
Or best offer.
Man, I wonder how much the original Ecto Coolers would have gone for.
Who knows?
Way back in the day. Yeah, anyway. There you go. GameStop shutting down.
Well, most of them, anyway. Because I haven't heard anything about the one here. But we lost two.
Did we?
Yeah, I think we lost two of them in town here.
Prattville's still going.
Yeah, Prattville's still going, I think.
Millbrook's closed.
A lot of Howie's shut down a while back. East Chase is still up and running.
Is it?
East Chase, yeah. That's where I got the buy two, get one to free sale.
Oh, that's right. They have the other. I was thinking of the building that was actually in the, you know, in the East Chase, like, shops there before they moved.
Before they moved to the outside.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right. Yeah. One of the outer satellite buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that one still is. I don't know about, still is there.
The other one is at Ann Street. I don't know about Ann Street. Okay. GameStop. That's one I haven't checked. In a while.
Let's see what we got for. And talking about GameStop's closing, we have Meta that is closing 3 virtual reality studios, and they're laying off roughly 10% of Reality Labs as it shifts focus from the metaverse to AI wearables. Its next surefire can't miss idea. This article also comes from PC Gamer. The chief technology officer of Meta said early in 2025 that the metaverse could be a legendary misadventure if the company's Reality Labs division didn't turn things around that year in a big way. Here we are in 2026, and it looks like the mission was not accomplished. Bloomberg is reporting that Meta is beginning layoffs of more than 1,000 Reality Lab employees and closing three development studios as it shifts attention from VR and the metaverse to its next big idea, phone features and AI wearables. God, I don't want to say AI anymore in my life, but here we go. An internal memo viewed by Bloomberg said roughly 10% of the Reality Labs workforce will be let go in an effort to make the division more sustainable. A Meta representative said the cuts represent part of a previously announced effort to shift investment from metaverse towards wearables, adding, "We plan to reinvest the savings to support the growth of wearables this year. Starting today, VR will operate as a leaner, flatter organization with a more focused roadmap to maximize long-term sustainability," that he wrote in a memo. Think about everybody that got Oculus Rifts or whatever the Meta, what are they called now? The VR platform. Quest, MetaQuest.
Okay, MetaQuest, yeah.
I think they're called Quests.
Yeah,
Quest 3, MetaQuest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Think about everybody over Christmas who got one of the VR machines for Christmas, or people who saved up and bought one over the holidays there or getting that, and now they're reading that, the VR stuff, is. They're going to thin that out a little bit. Great. So just put all this money.
Off to eBay you go.
Yeah. Reality Labs lost a staggering amount of money over the past several years, roughly $50 billion. Across 2020 to 2024, a revenue black hole that's only grown wider since, and that shows no evidence of an ability to produce a popular, actual, useful mainstream product, which isn't to say that the metaverse didn't give us anything memorable. It just didn't. Meta will continue to work on the metaverse, according to the report, but with a focus on mobile devices rather than fully immersive VR headsets that were initially expected to be at the core of the experience. VR headset development will also continue, but at a reduced pace. Meta will also close three VR development studios as part of the cuts. Resident Evil 4 VR developer Armature Studios, Asgard's Wrath maker Senzaru Games, and probably the best known of the bunch, the Defector developer, and the Deadpool VR that was just released late last year.
Mm-hmm.
That game company is familiar to this show if you go back to our early days, Twisted Pixel. A company out of Austin, Texas. I don't know if they're still based in Austin, but that's where they were. They were based out of Austin, Texas, and we've had them on the show probably more than anybody else that we've ever had on the show. For their first game, The Maw, for their second game, Splosion Man, for a lot of their releases, we would have them on the show. Comic Jumper was one. In fact, our show gets a thank you in, I think, one of their games.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Comic Jumper. And I think my name is listed in the credits of Comic Jumper as well. We had a huge contest for that game and a bunch of other stuff. We got people put in the game. They were friends of ours. I met them on many occasions and talked to them. We've had them on the show, but it's been a long time since we've done that. Now it looks like the studio is done. A potential difficulty for Meta is that its wearables gambit risks wandering into the same minefield. $800 for a pair of glasses that look ridiculous and rely on having Meta's AI installed on your phone for functionality. A dodgy proposition in its own right. On top of that comes the extremely obvious privacy concerns that these things inevitably engender and the potential legal headaches and lawsuits that may follow. It's possible that AI wearables will become mainstream someday, but someday soon, probably not. I also wouldn't have sunk more than $50 billion into whatever the hell the metaverse was supposed to be to begin with. I love VR. I don't play enough of it, but I love VR. Every time I put the VR headset on, which I haven't done in a long time, but every time I would put it on, man, I got that same feeling of immersion. It is an indescribable immersion into a game, a world, a place, whatever it might be. The immersion is there, and it fits, and it works, and it's amazing to experience.
I think you were telling me about the Batman VR you had when you had that, and then you, well, you let me borrow. You let me borrow, and I got the sense of what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was on VR the PlayStation. That was PlayStation VR. Yes.
Yeah, but VR in general, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh no, totally. Yeah.
So, because before you let me borrow that, it was a very long time since I've experienced anything VR wise with the headset and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I want to say the last time I'd experienced VR before that was probably these two things that were set up at the old Diamond Gems arcade in Montgomery Mall. I remember them very specifically. They were these two very large podium-like things that you would stand in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would move within that,
yeah,
to replicate, I guess, the movement of you and whatever. And I think they involved some kind of, like, I think there were dragons involved with it, but, you know, they looked like crap.
yeah.
I mean, it was early VR. The headsets were massive.
Mm-hmm.
It was very early VR. And at the time, because I mean, it was very early, but at the time it was like, oh, this is cool, you know?
Yeah.
We've reached the peak of technology. I just can't figure where we can go from here. You know, one of those situations.
Yep, smaller.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I do remember that. I remember that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would touch VR again. I would see videos of it, but I don't think I would touch VR again until the HTC Vive and the Oculus Rift. The Oculus Rift were my next VR experiences. And those were really cool. But I tell you, when I put the Quest 2 on that I had gotten one holiday with some trade-in credit and everything else, when I put that thing on where I didn't have wires hooked up to me, I had the freedom, the amount of freedom it gave, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
This is great. This is where we always needed to be with VR. And even though we got there, still ain't doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's still not doing it. So, you know what? If he's still in the chat room, credit to you, Lethal Migraine. Years and years and years and years ago when this VR stuff was going on, he was calling it crap then. And I don't want to say, I can't necessarily agree that it was crap. It just didn't catch on. It didn't sell. It didn't move.
Yeah.
You know? It's good stuff, at least to me. Some of the stuff in there was fantastic. But it didn't do, you know, it's gonna die like 3D, I bet.
Yeah, it was just it's like a console that hits all the bells and whistles in terms of its technological achievements.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't have the library, what's the point?
Cost of entry is a little bit big too for some of it.
Yeah.
But they absolutely cleared up the initial concern, which was too many wires, headsets too big or heavy or whatever.
Yeah.
They cleared up a lot of that stuff, and it still didn't move the needle, man.
Mm-hmm.
Still didn't move the needle. Mm. Maybe it could have been price, but I don't even think that would have mattered.
Yeah.
It just didn't get there.
Yeah.
You
know, I think about what can you do with VR? I guess they haven't pushed the envelope far enough. I mean, is it the same, like, super hot or like the Batman VR? Or?
I don't know. There were a lot of applications with that VR where you could, because you could also have that 360 video.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go to YouTube and look up 360 videos. And, I mean, you can kind of experience that on a computer screen where you just move the mouse around and look in a 360 direction. But in VR, where you turn to look around, it was a lot different, you know? There were other apps on there that would put you on a tour of, like, Italy and the streets of Italy or something, and you could just look around and everything. It got it really immersive in that regard on some of the stuff. And then the game aspect of it, there were some good things. There were mostly bad things, not great things. There was a 3D puzzler that I enjoyed, and I can't remember the name of it, but you would put together puzzles of 3D objects, and I loved that. Cathedrals and, like, Notre Dame. You could put a puzzle together of Notre Dame in a 3D space.
Like,
it was wonderful.
Like, reach out and grab pieces.
Yeah, it was jigsaw. It was like a jigsaw, but it was 3D. Okay. And you could put those together. Then I loved it. It was great. I still have it, you know.
Was there a VR Tetris?
I think there was. It was for play. I think it was for PlayStation VR.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tetris Effect had a VR aspect to it.
But it wasn't the controllers, like your hands just.
I don't know. I never played it.
Yeah.
There was a VR aspect to it. You didn't have to play it in VR. You could play it in something. And there was a lot of games like that where it's like, hey, this is VR. You can play it with VR, or you can. You don't have to play it with VR. There was Half-Life Alyx, which is, as far as your PC VR is concerned, it was like top tier. It was a showpiece. It's something you would bring people over and say, look at this VR thing, and you would give them Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that VR pushing the envelope, really. I mean, VR is kind of limited. Is VR kind of limited in the genres it can work with?
I don't think so. Third person maybe doesn't work.
Why would you play in VR? You're seeing everything you can from a distance.
So putting you behind the player is not necessarily something. It's always going to be a first person type situation. And I mean, your shooters work there. Your melees work there. I mean, we had ping pong. You had sports games. I don't necessarily, maybe. I never played like a Madden or something, but I know I played ping pong or tennis. There was bowling. There was archery. There was plenty there. There was even mountain climbing, which is ridiculous. Watching video of the mountain climbing in VR looked really cool, because that's all you're experiencing. It's like, oh man, you let go, you're gonna fall. But in VR, you're supposed to immerse yourself. There was no immersion in climbing a mountain, because there is a floor underneath you at all times. You are currently standing on the ground.
Yeah.
It does not feel like you are clung to the side of a mountain to where if you slip up or let go, you will drop. They may have tried to replicate that, but the fact that you are standing on the ground in the real world never brought that immersion across to me.
So it was like a Mirror's Edge.
Kind of.
Yeah, you're playing Mirror's Edge. But
I got more of immersion in Mirror's Edge with just playing it with a controller.
Yeah, sitting on the couch with a controller.
Than I ever did with VR. Yeah.
Did with VR, yeah.
So, anyway, we need to take a break here. We are at the bottom of the hour here. We got a game called, this is a weird title for a game, it's called Kyborg, if I'm pronouncing it right. KIBORG. Kyborg.
Close enough.
Yeah, this is the track. It's called Arena Fight. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chat. This is music from an little indie title that I almost picked up. It was listed as one of the best games of 2025. You know, I say one of the best games. If you have a list of five, that's a pretty good deal. If you have a list of 50, well, where does it fall? So, it's Despelote, if I'm pronouncing that right. That's the name of the game. The name of the track is called Bolero Lunar. So anyway, welcome back into the show. You probably know what the next track is going to be, or at least you know what game it's going to be coming from, considering that I mentioned that we have two tracks from one game, and we've only done one of those so far. So yeah, Clair Obscur, another track from that game, is on the way. Back to the news, I guess, or whatever. We mentioned that Meta is closing things down there. Dragon Quest VII Reimagines demo. This article says is a masterclass. I did download that and played all of less than 5 minutes of it. I had started it. I got stuck with doing some work stuff, and I just said, it felt like this was going to be I need to put some time into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't ready to put some time into it. But I thought, I'll get back to it. I never did.
Yeah.
Looked great, though. Really looked great. That's not enough for me to tell you that it's going to be great, but it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to actually play it to see, but it looked really good. What else is there? Sorry, I'm looking through these just to see. The TV front of things. So Fallout Shelter, which is a tablet-type game. It may be a console-type game, too. I'm not sure. But I remember it was released on your mobile devices years and years and years ago. And basically, it was a shelter sim type thing. You had a shelter, and you would make, you'd put a kitchen in there, and you would put the utilities and all these other different things that had to be run into a shelter, and you would have to bring people in who could work on them and manage them, and then all this other stuff you'd have to do. It was a sim type thing.
Yeah.
Well, now it's a reality competition TV series for Amazon, where contestants live together inside of a vault. I don't know how that sort of works, but it sounds like Big Brother to me.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And I feel like it's just a themed Big Brother, really.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's likely, I guess you vote people out. I don't know. I didn't read this article because I just wasn't interested in it.
It's the same thing. If it's like Big Brother, you're not watching. You're not watching for fall. You're watching for drama.
You're watching for drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're watching for drama. We also got we got two things related to casting. Is it for Amazon Yeah, Amazon's doing the Tomb Raider series. And we got our first look of actress Sophie Turner as Lara Croft. And it works. Honestly, when I saw it, I was like, oh. It's so weird, because we got the Angelina Jolie Lara Croft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I looked at that and thought, they nailed it. Then we got a couple of other Lara Crofts over time. And I looked at those, and I was like, they nailed it for what they were doing. But then I see this picture of Sophie Turner doing the Lara Croft stuff, and I was like, oh, wow, they nailed it. It's like, it feels like they nailed it better than the first two attempts. It literally looks like the character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely like the character. I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing, to be honest with you. I don't need them to look like their gaming counterparts, right?
Well, I'm close.
Maybe. I mean, Pac-Man's got to look like Pac-Man, right? But some of your... Well, I'm trying to... Was it Mark Wahlberg? Was it Wahlberg?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg did not look like Sully from Uncharted, even though they cast him in Uncharted.
How close did he look to Max Payne?
He didn't look like Max Payne either.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
I'm about to say, if you got a video game character based on an actual person, mm-hmm. really, you want to get as close to it as possible. You want some level of, I guess, authenticity.
Yeah.
When you make a character like that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess to me it shows reverence for the source material.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it does.
And I mean, this is absolutely is doing that. This is looking at source material and says, all right, let's make her look exactly like that. And they absolutely did. Like, exactly like that. They made it look... They did a really good job of that. That doesn't mean anything, though. You can make it look all you want. If it's not entertaining to watch and enjoy, it doesn't...
Like I just said, reference for the source material.
It doesn't matter if it's not entertaining to watch.
So I think of when they made the live-action movie Dead or Alive based on the game.
Oh God!
The personalities didn't match the story of the characters. That's what stuck out to me. But then, for me, then the movie's bad in general overall. But yeah, what really stuck out to me was that you didn't match the personalities of the characters you're representing. You look okay, but you don't. Your acting doesn't fit that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
The characters weren't written like their personalities are in the game or in the source material,
right.
I should say.
Right.
Yeah. There's aspects of it. You can get the look down, but if you don't have a good story, if you don't have entertaining stuff going on, if it's not fun to watch, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's all got to kind of mix together, right?
Yeah.
You got to have something. And honestly, I think if you can get, I think there's a ratio of if you got this many right, you can get this many wrong and still be okay. You know what I'm saying? Now, if it's absolutely entertaining to watch to the point where you don't care that the character doesn't look like the other person, but it's still entertaining, then you can get past that. You know, mm-hmm. if they look great and it's entertaining to watch, then you can get past the fact that you didn't follow the story of the game, you know, or that you didn't follow some of the lore of the game or something like that. You may wish that it would have been in there, but you can still look at it and say, "Ah, that's not bad with what we got. Good." You know, maybe they can get mm-hmm. to it next time. You know, it's entertaining enough. But I think there's a certain amount of it that if you fail on those fronts, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter.
I was about to say, if there's a next time, depending on the numbers that the first one makes. And in terms of getting things wrong, you know, try passing that off to hardcore fans of the series. But then again, when you make a movie like this, you're not trying to get the hardcore fans.
You're not.
You pretty much got them all. You pretty much kind of got them already.
They're going to be there.
Yeah, you're trying to get the casual.
They may complain, but they're going to be there.
So they're going to complain, yeah. You get the you try to get the casual fan to get them in to make it interesting so that they'll give it a shot and see what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
See what all the fuss is about.
The other casting news that we got was for the God of War TV show, which again is Amazon. Amazon just went nuts. With like, hey, here's a bunch of stuff. Fallout Shelter, and here's our Lara Croft. Here is our Kratos, and it was who is his name? What's this guy's name? Ryan. Come on, where is it at? Ryan Hurst. Ryan Hurst will be playing Kratos. He's best known for his roles in Sons of Anarchy and The Walking Dead. He will portray Kratos in the upcoming live action adaptation God of War, which has already been confirmed for a 2-season order on Amazon. I don't remember him in Walking Dead, and I never watched Sons of Anarchy, so I am not familiar with him.
Does he look like the guy with the prosthetic hand in Walking Dead? I mean, I didn't watch Walking Dead consistently enough to know all the characters in there. So
yeah, I don't know. More than likely, if I saw his performance in Walking Dead, I'd be like, oh, it's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Depending on where he did, because I ditched that show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when, but I absolutely ditched that show at some point.
Yeah.
And never returned. So, anyway, they've cast their God of War, their Kratos, and so we'll see how that goes as well. I forgot that Ronald D. Moore is doing the showrunner on this thing. He's the guy that did Battlestar Galactica. Which started out really good and, you know, started coming apart.
So what happened?
Later.
Was the story elements come apart or just...
No. I think he had a fantastic idea for maybe a couple of seasons, but mm-hmm. because of the success, they needed more and he stretched it too thin. Like, you know, be Babylon 5, right? B.J. Michael Straczynski, who is the guy who created Babylon 5, and he's a comic book writer and everything else.
Yeah.
And by the way, when I say B.J. Michael Straczynski, I mean in the sense that you have a plan, and you stick to your plan.
Mm.
Babylon 5 had a plan. It will start here, it will end here, and we're going to get there between.
The outline's written, we're going to follow.
No more, no less than what we need.
Right.
And that was the plan. He does that in his comic books when he creates new series, and that was his plan, and that's what he did. Mm-hmm. You could look at Walking Dead and be like, yeah, you drug that stuff out. If you had had a plan of like here to here, you wouldn't have run into that. But because it was making so much money, it's like we got to keep the cow alive,
mm-hmm.
so we can continue to beat a dead horse over here. We got to milk this for all it's worth, so we can beat this horse until spinoffs and everything else. We just have to continue this universe.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. But, you know, money.
Mm-hmm.
As it always is, money.
Yep.
Hey, we got a new Lego set for Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. It is the final battle set. and a nice little trailer for it that came out. But what you really need to know about when you look at Lego sets is how much it's going to cost. And this set is going to be priced at $130, which is a cost that has raised eyebrows among fans when compared to other non-licensed Lego offerings. However, the design itself and everything else is going down well with fans, but yeah, the price is, I don't know about this. But I know the Pokemon Lego sets are going for massive amounts.
Yeah, Pokemon.
I know.
Yeah.
And also, that also is what, you know, curbs my interest of like, No, I'm not, I'm good.
That, in fact, you know, if it's a Nintendo license, you know it's going to be high.
Yeah.
I mean, what was how much was that Game Boy Lego thing? Or
it started out at $50,
and then it went to something else, or
it you could easily buy it around 30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
They had massive amounts of them.
Oh, okay.
I bought them because I didn't think they would, or mm-hmm. that I was worried the price might go up.
Yeah.
It literally did not. It went down. Like there were plenty of times I could have bought that for like $36, $35
mm-hmm.
Rather than the $50 that they were asking for.
Or was it a certain scale that shot up like that?
I don't know.
Because it wasn't the Lego Game Boy wasn't huge.
No.
As opposed to a diorama that they made with other stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah, because they had the Nintendo set, which came with a Nintendo system that you would build out of Lego, and a TV set that you built out of Lego
mm-hmm.
that the Nintendo console was hooked up to, all made from Lego.
Yeah.
There's the Atari 2600 that they did, which is the massive console itself. The Game Boy system that they did, and I feel like I'm drawing a blank on something. Well, the Pac-Man game. Mm-hmm. The smaller ones.
What, the cocktail?
Not the cocktail. Even smaller than that.
Hmm.
You know, it looked like a little tiny, I say a little tiny, I'm holding my hands, you can't see this, but, you know, whatever. You'd have to look it up to see what I'm talking to you about. Mini-cade type feature. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what that type of, I'm not sure what that type of console is called,
mm-hmm.
or what that type of device is called, but yeah, it's, it was like a mini-cade type stuff.
Hmm.
So, yeah, and I swear I'm thinking there's something else that I'm absolutely forgetting. I think, and I could be wrong on some of these consoles, because they didn't make a Genesis thing. They did have a Genesis. No, they did. Didn't they do a Genesis?
Let's see.
Because I thought they did a Genesis controller. Maybe it was for Sonic.
Yeah, the Lego Genesis controller.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bonus when you bought something else, or I can't remember.
Hmm.
I thought it came as a bonus. But anyway.
No longer available.
No, it is not. It is no longer available. These things go quick. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, we got some. Alicia Vikander was the other Lara Croft.
Mm-hmm.
Thar says he's good. He was in Son of Anarchy. Biker Gang Show is good. Thar says that Walking Dead is still going with Dixon and slow news week. I was like, yeah, it's been a slow news week. I'm fine with slow news weeks, though. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We are done, and we hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your evening tonight and on into the week as well. We'll be back next week to do this all over again. Going to leave you here with music from Claire Obscure, Expedition 33. This is music that took place in the manor. There's a certain area that you get into, and it's inside a house, and they call it the manor. And this is called Honeymoon in Umer. And we will see you guys next week on In-Game Chat. Have a fantastic week. Thanks again for listening, as always. See you next Saturday.